Our gospel reading today comes from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he'd spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens in that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods and that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands."' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and he put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then his father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Well, our theme is telling a story, and I'm very excited to hear the various people tell their story. And I was worried a little bit that I get to lead the thing off. To tell my story of faith, more and more recently, I see more and my story and God's story intersecting in ways that if I start tracing something that where God was at work, I can trace it a little farther back and farther back, so I didn't know quite where to start. Also, too, because I've had the privilege of serving here for so long, you are part of my story, and you've heard so much of my story. So I thought tonight I would share where my story is right now. What's energizing me? What's drawing me? What's exciting me about my faith? And what is striking me right now in a variety of ways is what God's first recorded words were to his son. We don't know. He could have been speaking to him directly for all his life, but his first recorded words were at his baptism when Jesus came up out of the water and the heavens were open, and his father spoke directly to him. And what did he say out of all the things? Did he say, "You are going to be the savior of the world, go and die on the cross for the sins of the people"? No. Did he say, "You are going to be true God and true man, both equally joined"? No. He said these incredible words of mission, these incredible words of identity and relationship. He said, "You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased." What an astonishing first thing to say to Jesus. And more I'm convinced that that is what set the tone. That's what set his mission until the very cross, until he breathed his last, was living out that basic, deep, deep identity. I'm struck by the ways that Jesus calls on that identity of a parent and a child, a father and a son, repeatedly. It just keeps coming back and back at some of the most important parts of his ministry. Immediately after he's baptized and was heard this wonderful identity given to him by his heavenly Father, he was driven into the wilderness for the temptation. And what was the temptation? It was whether he would be true to that identity. Every time the devil tempted him, he started out with, "If you really are God's son." He was going right to the core of it. He knew if he could derail that basic identity, he would derail Jesus' entire mission. And Jesus kept saying, "No, that is the most important thing." He says, "I can go hungry, but I cannot deny that I'm God's child." He says, "I can have all the safety in the world. I can do without the safety in the world. I can even go to the cross, but I can't be without being God's child." He said, "I can have all the nations of the world bow down and worship me, or I could do without it. Neither is as important as being God's child." One of his most famous teachings was the one we just heard read, the parable of the prodigal son. And what is the key image in there? A father and a son. There it is again. The only prayer that Jesus taught us. We overheard other of his prayers, but when his disciples asked him directly, "Teach us a prayer," how did he start it? Again, with this core relationship, our Father. He wanted us to know that we could approach God just as a trusting child addresses their loving, caring parent with confidence and with hope. And this theme, this core identity, carried all the way through, even to the cross. Even on the cross there, where everything else had literally been stripped away from him. As everything else, including his very life, was literally draining away from him. Even though he expressed his pain, his frustration, his misunderstanding of what was going on, at the very end, what were his last words? "Father, into your hands I commend this spirit." Jesus was saying, when everything else is gone, when I've let go of literally everything else, the one thing I cannot let go of is that you are my Father, and all I can do is commend my spirit into your hands right now on this cross. And 3 days later, he was alive. His Father had raised his beloved son up. That's what the parable is about. It's so simple. It's so clear, I think. Jesus again starts out talking, there was a father who had two sons, a God who had all sorts of children. And one of the sons came to his father, and in his youth and in his self-centeredness and his just wanting to get out and be independent, wanting for freedom, says to his father, "Dad, I want my share of the inheritance right now." But in his youthfulness, in his self-centeredness, in his folly, he was literally saying to his father, "Dad, I want you to drop dead, because when do you get an inheritance? Only when somebody dies." And the amazing thing about this parable is the father gives it to him. Doesn't lecture him about taking care of it. He just gives it to him. There's been so many people who have tried to explain why the father does that. I think it's just because that's what the father does. He gives. He gives out of love. He doesn't hold back. Even if the son is going to misuse it, even if that. And so the son, very ironically, takes everything that he's not earned, but that was just a gift to him, and he's going to go off and try and live a life apart from the father. See what it's like. See if he can do it. And so he trots off, and he's living the high life for a while, but guess what? There is no life apart from the Father. Any life that we are living apart from our relationship with God is going to dead end. It's just going to hit a brick wall. And that's what happened to this guy. All the money was gone. He didn't have the ability to earn it again, to sustain his life. He was literally starving to death in a pigsty, where he came to his senses and realized, there is no life apart from my Father. I'm going to go back. But he thought, I better first make up a good little confession, a good little apology, so that my father will not be too angry and that he might give me actually a chance of coming back. So he thinks up his little apology, his little confession, and he starts back home. And as soon as he's in sight of home, what does his father do? But he comes swooping down on him, grabs him, hugs him. The guy starts to give his little speech of apology, his little confession, and the father doesn't even listen to it. The father doesn't even care. What matters to the father is that he is able to embrace his child again and to put a robe on him and to invite him into the house and to start the party, because all that mattered was life with his child. Nothing was more important than that. This past week, some of the staff, we were sitting down, we were planning services like for tonight and the rest of Lent, and we were discussing, and I know I drive the staff crazy because we don't always have confessions during services, but during Lent, the confessions come out again. And I roll my eyes, and I'm kind of naughty, and I just say, oh, do we have to do this confession again? I'm just not into confession. And the staff goes, Steve, what, you don't sin? You don't do things that are wrong that you need to confess? And I say, no, I do all sorts of stupid, dumb, hurtful things. I mean, I act out of my fear or my ignorance or my pride or my control issues or whatever it is. But I need to make lots of apologies to the actual people that I hurt. I need to pray to God that I'll be a better person so that I don't keep repeatedly hurting people. But my larger point about this, and don't get me wrong, confession is a good thing. It is a good thing. But the deeper thing is, I need to confess the deeper problem, and that is that I do not believe, that I do not trust, that I am my Father's beloved child and live entirely out of that. I believe all too often that I can be like the prodigal son and live and find a life, make a life apart from God, and I just can't. And until I come back repeatedly, stumbling to my Father, and again are embraced by Him, like the prodigal son, he doesn't want to hear my confession repeatedly for the same thing over and over. He wants to give me the new life, and that only comes as I learn to trust him deeply, utterly, absolutely. Every time I fall, he picks me up, and he tells me once again who I am, despite all my unbelief. He says, you are my beloved child. I got to show you this thing. A couple weeks ago after church on Sunday, this lady, Mary Lou Person, came up to me and she said, turn around. And she was looking at me and she said, can I look at your robe here and everything else? I'm like, what are you doing? She said, I'm studying you because I'm going to make a doll for you. How creative. Just incredible, the details on this. I mean, she got the hair mostly right. It's not quite that high up here. She got the robe beautiful. She got the button there. She got the stole. She got my name on it. I don't know where she thinks I'm ever going to wear these embroidered green slippers, but maybe she thinks that's the way I hang around that house. But what, and somebody bought this, and I don't know who. I'm dying to know. I kept bidding on it, but it got out of my league. Or maybe I bid it. I don't know. Anyway, but what struck me, beside the creativity, beside the humor, was this. She embroidered on here, you are God's child, and you are deeply loved. And I said, where did you get that? Why did you put that on there? And she said, that was from the closing words of one of your last sermons. And I thought, there it is. There it is. If my life story could be more and more deeply living that reality, if my life story could be enabling, encouraging, challenging, leading others to experience that in their life, and enabling this church to believe that, then my story has a happy, happy ending. Amen. Please, do we stand for our next hymn? Stand for our next hymn.